Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome, as always, to the show. If you're new, welcome. Dan here, along with Michael and Moscow White for the weekly show. We'll catch up with Brentford and stuff in a bit, yeah? First of all, we need to say it's brought to you by Levi Solicitors, this show, who do you a 10% discount on your legal fees. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Michael will smoothly and systematically reel off the three things that are on offer in January now. Michael?
Wills, probate, conveyancing.
Yep. Which is your favourite of those three? Say Wills.
Wills.
Do you know why they're good?
Because you can do online appointments.
Yeah, you can do it. That's not the main point is that you can do video appointments with the online booking system.
That's what I meant. It's all online, isn't it? How else are you doing the video via satellite link? It's all on the internet.
Sorry, Levi's. LevisListers.co.uk/thesquareball. We've got a sale on. Quick plug for these as well. Flying out like hotcakes now. We took the piss out of the fact we couldn't sell it. Oh, look at that. Moscow's drinking out of a mug. On the video version on YouTube, like they do in the films, you know, and there's nothing in the vessel. Can you do the same with yours? Is that a Luke Ayling mug there, Michael?
He's good as well, isn't he?
Yeah, his legs wide open there for the ball to go through. No, that's him scoring his volley against Huddersfield in fun times.
In the before times.
The before times.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got a few of those. Street Fighter things we did too. They're on sale.
And the cheap.
Fiver.
Not cheap for a mug. Not cheaply made, just discounted in price.
Exactly. It's still the same premium product, just a new low exciting price.
The jokes about the Pat Bamford mugs being broken, etc., can be made, but
yeah, yeah. And
do your own jokes.
Look at him go.
Exactly.
He's on a hot streak. Well, let's get onto all that then, shall we, and talk about the football. But if you want the mugs, the squareball.net, find the merch section. There's a sale bit in there, loads of stuff on sale. Have a poke around. Part one of the show is news. Should we do news?
Should talk about our record signing?
Yeah, let's do that. Rodrigo, yeah, he's doing really well, isn't he? Hey. Ruther. Well, we're recording this sort of Friday late morning, and we've got the Phil Hayes show coming up in a bit, which is going to be after the press conference, I think, or an interview where they're having a chat with Jorginho Ruther from Moscow. Where did he come from prior to...
From Hoffenheim.
Prior to Hoffenheim, he came from...
He came from Rennes.
Rennes, correct.
And before that, he was at Vannes.
Yes, he's very happy to be here.
Yeah, look, he did genuinely look happy to be here as well. I know
struck me as a lovely lad.
Players always say that, but he did genuinely look thrilled.
The intro to the crowd on Wednesday night was funny, and these things are always funny, because they just sort of walked him out to the centre spot and said,
there he is.
There's Ruther. And then
in the middle of a football stadium, now what do I do?
And they just walked away again. I did think for a moment, because they built it up. They said as soon as the game finished, they did what they should have done for Click when he left against...
lessons learned.
West Ham. Lessons learned, yeah. It was like, everybody, stay in your seats at half-time because we're going to be bringing out our new signing. And typically, I think most people are like, sod that, I'm after that. but I did think, having built it up and then walking him out into the middle of the field like a pony at a show, that they were going to make him do some kick-ups or something. But no, he just turned around and walked back again.
Waved.
When he got to near the tunnel, he seemed to almost have second thoughts. He was like, should I stay for a bit longer? He was like,
is it too soon to do a lap of honour?
Yeah.
Was it Martin Brathwaite who, when he signed for Barcelona, tried to do the signing things with the kick-ups and he couldn't do them?
Yeah, I think so. There's always
just looked absolutely lost.
It's good. But yeah, there he was. So he's definitely here.
Yeah, looked well. Looked healthy, didn't he?
The most two-footed player Jesse Marsh has ever seen. They've got loads in common, because he was saying that they had a chat about football, and he said that Ruther already seemed to like know all of Jesse Marsh's tactical ideas. So like,
they were written on the back of a postage stamp for him.
20-year-old kid's got it all worked out. Maybe Ruther could be our next manager.
It's possible. He does like to lean on a a teenager for tactical advice, doesn't he?
When Tyler Adams was ordering about when he was 15. Like, we've got to start attacking down the left. Oh, yeah, the kid's right. So that's
hey, the kid's right, man.
And he's grown up a little bit now. So it's like, yeah, we can have Tyler Adams as manager. Rutter, there is a coaching vacancy because we've still not filled the Jacko gap.
A couple more days.
We'll have an announcement. But yeah, very exciting. Going to be great. Like, he's going to be playing for us for the next 15 years. Attacking, scoring loads of goals with both feet, just dribbling loads. He says he loves to dribble. He loves anime. It's the other thing about him. So good.
Is that true?
Yes.
Good.
I can't remember the name of it because I don't know much about anime, but he mentioned a couple of shows in an interview at the start of the year. He was like, what are his other interests? And he listed anime amongst them. Well, the shows in particular that he watches.
I look forward to an athletic long read on that then.
Well, it would be interesting. I mean, it's always nice when somebody's got a little bit more than just like, because that was the one, it made me laugh on LUTV did a day in the life of Jackie Harrison where they followed him around and on the way back, after training, he's driving home. Like, so what do you like to do in your downtime when you're not being a footballer? It's, oh, well, you know, me and my girlfriend, we just like to watch movies, watch a bit of TV. We've been watching that documentary lately about Jeffrey Dahmer. I was thinking, would you not, if you were making that day in life, just like, okay, that's the true answer. But kids are going to be watching. Let's just say you like watching Finding Nemo or something. We'll just do that over again. It's like, oh yeah, all the serial killer stuff. That's what we really like.
And is that the same day in the life of where they were filming him in the dressing room and there was Rasmus there, bollock naked, yeah. And they had to do a second take?
So again, it's like, they maybe need to be putting an R rating on these day in the life videos. Maybe that's fine. Once you've got a nude Rasmus, I guess it's like, yeah, all the serial killer documentaries can be thrown in after.
Did you like seeing Victor in his San Francisco 49ers top, which we have touched on across the last week, but now is a chance for us to share our thoughts and feelings on that. That was very subtle.
He's always been a man for the delicate, nuanced points, hasn't he, Victor Orta, when he's wearing his 49ers top, shouting at people to fuck off. He's not the most subtle of men, is he? But I guess if they've paid for it, fair enough.
How do you imagine that's gone down with Andrea Radrizzani? As a man noted for having a very thick skin and not at all a fragile ego.
Well, what does a Ace Adventures hoodie look like? Do they do any? Do they make any? Maybe that's the problem. He wakes up in the morning and thinks, I would love to wear something with Andrea Radrizzani's face on it. I haven't got one. So I'll just have to wear the 49ers hoodie. So it's really Andrea's own fault.
Improve your merch offering.
Yeah.
He might do now. He might have had one made of him. It'll be a picture of him with a six pack.
Really tall.
Six foot tall with a rippling torso.
Shot from a low angle?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was fun. I'm surprised they didn't have a big bag of money on the table or a giant check from San Francisco.
$49. Yeah.
Absolutely. Good fun. Azzedine Unahi, that one's gone a bit quiet now. Do you want a central midfielder? I do.
Suppose we should.
I know I'm being a big baby football fan and I want everything now and everything yesterday, but I'd quite like to see us have another midfielder.
Well, we got rid of a perfectly good one in Click. Mm. So let's have another. I mean, this guy's not coming, is he? He don't want to come.
I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting until later in the window, see what happens with Brentford, whether they need to pony up to get, you know, compensation for anybody else, if they need to bring anybody else in for any reason at all after Brentford, which again, we'll get onto in part two of Brentford. I don't know. It feels like they're probably in for someone, but they're just biding the time in that way that Leeds kind of do. And as Phil has said, don't be surprised if nothing happens, but don't be surprised if something does happen. Don't be surprised at all.
It's we're kind of used to it, aren't we? They get the players that they want early and then kind of mill around.
Definitely the hallmark of January's previous, that Moscow.
Well, or they don't get them. They go for them, don't they? Because we had the Brendan Aaronson chase last January and it was pretty clear that was the player they wanted. So they either got him or they didn't. This year we wanted Werber and Rutter and we got them. And then there is that period in the rest of the window where it's just like, see what happens, see who becomes available, see if there's anything out there that we want. Maybe they're a little bit too relaxed about filling up the midfield with people, and a definite target in mind would be nice if it's this guy or somebody else. But yeah, we're into a usual Leeds mode, aren't we? Like, we've bought some players and now we're going to try and resist everybody's begging for more because days go by without a signing and everybody forgets about the record signing. And it gets to January the 31st, everybody will be moaning that we've done nothing. And they'll say, what about Rutter? And people say, that was 3 weeks ago. Forgotten all about it.
I am fairly pleased with our business, I have to say, so far. It seems like fairly sensible acquisitions and early, which is important.
Werber injured. Rutter, well, yeah. How many goals has he scored? Record signing, 2 goals, terrible.
Done nothing so far, has he?
Yeah, he's done nothing for us.
Did you not see his wave?
Rubbish.
Smile?
Wasn't impressed. He was in the shadow of Click anyway that night, wasn't he?
No, yeah, that's true. Click did the same, didn't he? Just wandered out.
So, yeah, there's not a lot you can do, really, is there? There was a big hoo-ha about
Cry
him.
Again.
Yeah, about him not saying goodbye. And then it's kind of, what does an actual goodbye look like in those
Dousing
circumstances?
Tear gas as he comes out.
It is somebody 100 yards away waving at you. And it's like, we wanted the close moment. Oh, that's as good as it gets, isn't it? But, you know, he was looking good. Sharp coat.
But yeah, it seems like we agreed a price ages ago, more or less, on it from reports and probably can match his personal terms. And he's gone, yeah, I'll see.
Quite fancy the Champions League with Napoli, thanks.
Which is absolutely fair enough.
Which is ungrateful.
It is. Yeah, I mean, that's another opinion on it. But yeah, I mean, you'd probably just fancy winning a medal straight away, wouldn't you? As an option.
Links as well to Diogo Monteiro, who most notably has spectacular eyebrows. Looks like he could be on The Apprentice, actually, I think, with those eyebrows. And that's, he's got a sharp coiffured haircut.
Well, he's receiving an award, isn't he, on this picture. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's cut off, but it's some UEFA award anyway, so it looks very smart.
He's not wearing a tie, Michael.
Or I feel like he might be trying to get me to go to his church.
Right, yes.
The other vibe from this.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually, yeah. So he's played for Portugal at youth level, but he's from Switzerland, knocking about around Servette.
Yeah, Moscow. That's surely a French-Swiss.
Servette.
So he turns 18, doesn't he, at some point in the next week or two? So they're going to pounce potentially, yeah.
Yeah, the Charlie Creswell replacement.
Yeah, his YouTube presence is different to most people because there are highlights from a Portugal youth game against Denmark, but then there's also his own channel, which is quite unusual.
Are we signing a YouTuber?
Well, it's...
Sorry,
it's,
are we signing a fellow YouTuber?
It's football orientated, to his credit. It has the about page is in several languages and says... I am a boy of 14 years old who lives in Switzerland.
He's too young to sign then.
Who dreams of a career in football. If you like one of my videos, do not hesitate to love and to share with your family and your friends. Thank you. And it's a selection of...
It's got a sort of a Knowing Kenny vibe, that.
Yeah, it's a selection of little videos he's done of himself. They're all like, the longest one is 13 seconds.
It's like him just kicking a ball, isn't it?
Just kicking a ball into a goal. Yeah, it's quite sweet. So he's had his little 8 subscribers he already... had.
We can get that up to 10, I think.
I'm not following
it. Did you not like and subscribe?
But
hit that bell.
13 seconds, in fairness, he's barely got time to even address that, has he?
Yeah. No. English, French, German and Spain are the languages he's put it in, so he's spreading his net quite wide, trying to get the attention of football, and worked.
Yeah, the only real clips of him playing football competitively are from a Portugal-Denmark game, and I have to admit, when I opened that, I did see Portugal. The score is on there. It says Portugal, Dinamarca. And I thought, who are Dinamarca? Then I googled it and I was like, it's Denmark.
Denmark, yeah. I mean, I got that very quickly.
I know. I did it as soon as I did it. I thought, obviously, what is wrong? What on earth is wrong with you?
I thought you were talking about a player, Mr. and Mrs. Marker's lad, Dina.
No, sadly not. But, I mean, do we want him?
Yeah, of course we do want everyone, don't we?
What's happening to Charlie Creswell?
Well, it seems potentially... out on loan, doesn't it? But there's talk, and it's Phil, I think, who's responsible for spreading.
He's trying to sell him.
Yeah, spreading this rumour with his poison pen, suggesting that he might go out permanently. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, whether they're sort of reassessing the parameters now for players who are sort of coming in as the backfill from the youth team, if you like.
Mm.
Well, Max Dean's gone permanently as well, hasn't he? Unfortunately, he's not been able to find a club, so they've had to send him to the pretend one in Milton Keynes, where... Mark Jackson is pretending to be in charge of a pretend football club because, yes, AFC Wimbledon is the real one. The other one doesn't count. But which is, I think, with Dean, it kind of makes some sense because we now have about 60 strikers ahead of him.
One of which cost about 35 million quid, don't know if you've heard.
Yeah, all of a certain age as well, like Rodrigo's kicking on, I guess. Bamford is...
29?
Yeah, so he's still the right side of 30. He's a young man. Fine young man. So you can see, like, even if we did a Chelsea thing of farming him out on loan for years, we'd probably ruin him the way Chelsea ruined Bamford. So let him go. A little bit different at the back because we don't really have any defenders. I know we've got some defenders, but you could look at Llorente, Cooper, Koch, Strauch, Werber, and think there's room in there for one more. But I guess it's what Cresswell wants as well. Like, is he looking at Koch and Werber and Strauch having their contracts and thinking, well, the best I'm going to be there is I've got to try and fight my way through them, or just go and play somewhere permanently, get loads of games and come up that way.
And if he's spoken to Jamie Shackleton on his loan, he's kind of a warning from the future, isn't he, of this is maybe what can happen if you just stay at a club too long and they don't ever really play you, and then you go out on loan and you struggle to get games, and then before you know it, you're like 23 or whatever Jamie Shackleton is now, and you've not really kicked the ball
tumbling down the pyramid like an Egyptian builder that slipped.
And the loan as well has maybe been a bit of a reality check, because every time he played for Leeds in our first team, it felt like a super high, cool experience and everything went really well. This is the first time
the grind.
Yeah, it's not gone brilliantly. And yeah, it might have been kind of a reassessment for him, and also for Leeds United, maybe, just like what potential he has at the moment, and whether sort of keeping him around is going to be the best way of getting the best out of him. It happens. This is, you know, we have the... Michael was making a very good point on one of the podcasts that I wasn't on, what? I was listening to, about how we got to get used to the Premier League way of doing youth players, where we think every player that comes from our youth team is destined to play for us for 10 years, whereas actually a lot of them are destined are destined to be sold. And that's how Manchester City make untold millions from just having an academy producing players who... And even it's Jason Wilcox who's in charge of their academy, our old winger.
He's just gone to Southampton, though.
I don't know why he would do that. It's ridiculous. But he was saying, you know, the likelihood of us getting a player as good as De Bruyne out of our academy is very slim. We'll probably have to buy that player. But we can produce dozens of players who are good enough for the Championship and the Premier League and sell them and use that money to buy De Bruyne. So,
and FFP as well. I mean, like, if you look at what Chelsea are doing, which Todd Bowley seems to have completely lost his marbles and spending, what, 400 million in 1.5 windows or something. Mm. They're going to have to do some selling, aren't they, in the upcoming windows, you imagine?
Might not bother.
They might not. Yeah, and then, because they're going to be selling academy products, aren't they? Probably Conor Gallagher's going to go. You've got, what, Loftus-Cheek as well, who's come through, who might well end up going and so on and so forth.
Chelsea end up with England internationals who are in their reserve team, because they can produce players who are that good. Loftus-Cheek has played for England, I'm not imagining. But he can't get into their first team, and they end up on loan to Germany and stuff. And it's all, you know, squad caps haven't really worked, have they, where you say you can only have 25 players in your Premier League squad and a certain number have got to be homegrown. Because now Chelsea and Nottingham Forest are just going like, fine, we'll just pay a bunch of players to just not play. Can't be in the squad, can't do anything, but we'll have them, and then other people can't.
There is the homegrown quota as well, which kind of plays into this, doesn't it? You have a certain percentage of your players have got to have spent at least 3 years in an academy and all that.
That's why there's a weird lucrative market for aging English goalkeepers, because people are like, well, sub goalkeeper, whatever. We don't need to waste a squad space on that. As long as we can get someone to kind of do a job as second or third choice, that's fine. We'll save our foreign players for the sexier stuff.
I'd be willing to do that, you know.
Who do you propose we get? Mark Beanie?
No, I'm saying I'd be willing to do it.
Like, playing
if a Premier League
in goal.
I'd never play. I'd go to training if they asked me to, but I'd never obviously play.
I reckon it's not going to provide a very stiff challenge for the players in training if you're in goal.
Why?
Because of the physical demands of goalkeeping.
I spent a season in goal when I did, you know, like we played just among ourselves, like on a Wednesday afternoon at university, and we won the league. So I've got a league title winner's medal.
And
we conceded the fewest goals in the division.
I suspect.
And I saved the penalty.
Professional footballers kick it really, really hard.
This is like, even from the perspective of being a goalkeeper, listening to Kevin Blackwell reeling off his playing achievements.
Are you putting your hat in the ring to be our new left back, by the way, with your
number three
your top you're wearing tonight?
It's like, well, it's like a Jossie's Giants top. You probably won't remember Jossie's Giants.
No, I know of it. I don't. Yeah.
If I can get a transfer from the Comets.
It looks like a Newcastle top, I have to say.
Yeah, I always really liked that Newcastle kit.
Mm.
And then I found this.
Why don't you just go and support them then, eh?
Because you got an eye. Yeah.
is Comets the team, or is that just a sponsor?
I've never been able to work it out. I think it's just a...
Because Comet was the electrical retailer, wasn't it?
That's sponsored by all the branches of Comet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's Comets.
Joffe. Back to Joffe. He's gone to Wigan on loan.
Is that confirmed?
Oh, let's assume so.
No, I don't think it is officially, but
it's going to do
he
it.
He is doing it. Yeah. By the sounds of it.
But by the time this gets published, probably, let's assume he has. But, I mean,
we'll be back next week with his unveiling video at Preston.
Absolute climb down. it does make sense, doesn't it, given that Rutter's arrived and has arrived, and Bamford's now back among the goals.
The most exciting prospect in the Premier League. That's what Angus Kinnear said about him, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it's it's the right move for him, though.
Yeah.
Go out and play some games. And he's dead young. I don't think...
2 weeks younger than Ruther.
Yeah. I did see someone point out, though, that Ben White was at Newport at 20.
Yeah.
So
it'll be nice for Lynn to have him on for a bit as well.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a little brother, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Who's probably now about 18. So maybe not that small.
Could beat you up.
Yeah, almost certainly. That's good, Lynn. But yeah, no, I hope he goes back and does well.
I think you'd let Lynn beat you up for kicks.
Fair enough. Get in touch.
She's on Twitter, Michael. You could always just drop her a message.
Probably not.
No?
I think that's... No. Not the done thing.
No, okay.
I think since Matt Grimes' mother was probably the death knell for interactions, really, wasn't it?
I discovered Lewis Bates' mum on Twitter, actually. Weirdly, because she...
Michael.
Discovered?
Michael Normanton, mum stalker.
I tweeted about Lewis Bates, and then in the replies to it, people saying, oh, he did really well against Arsenal. You can see who's liked the replies to it. And there was a... I can't remember her name now, but there was a someone, Bates, and basically all she does is like stuff about Lewis Bates. She never posts anything, but she just obviously like searches for him and likes stuff.
A proud mum.
It was nice. I assume it's his mum. It could be his sister, I suppose. But I'm assuming mum. But yeah, I just came across it. I was like, oh, that's quite nice, really. She's just going through, like, retweeting nice stuff about her son playing well.
Aye. Great stuff. Yelda has gone to Rotherham on loan, straight into the team. They won 4-0 against Blackburn. Got good reports, didn't they?
Getting assists. Playing left back as well. Interestingly for them. Not centre back. So maybe he is one after all.
Yeah, he did a lot of left back stuff before he came to us. It was never... I think just because we don't have any other sort of left-back options, Leeds fans tend to get a bit irate about where Hjelda plays, but it was always a thing.
He's big as well, isn't he? I think that's the other thing. He doesn't look like you'd expect a left-back to look.
It's the modern game. They're not... Tony DiRigo isn't the archetype anymore. Neither is Ian Hart.
Mm.
The short and pacey.
The criteria for signings is now, because Jesse said birth order. Obviously, it's something he looks at.
Yeah.
He said that unprompted as well, didn't he? Which makes you wonder about his judgment slightly. But...
Although he didn't say exactly... like what the conclusion was, it was because it was reported rather than, we don't have the exact quote from his the interview he was doing at this corporate conference, coaching conference. But when asked what questions he uses to assess players when meeting them, his first response was that he's a big believer in birth order and gets to know that about a player. But it doesn't say whether he gets to know it. I guess it's...
Is he saying he doesn't want the difficult middle child? Is that what he's saying?
Well, I guess it's he maybe wants to know that that's what he's dealing with. So it's like, okay, so were you first, second, third, what? And then he's like, okay.
Then they obviously reads the tarot after that.
Yes. He's doing some palmistry.
Do we know if Aronson's got an older brother? He obviously has the younger one, but is he the oldest?
I think he's the oldest, he's the older there's one. A sister
he's
as
not,
well.
He's not the difficult middle one.
Oh, there's a sister in the mix
yeah,
too?
Yeah, she plays too.
Ah, do you know, how old's she?
If only there was a worldwide system of interconnected computers that could tell
I'm
us
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think Dan's looking it
just
up.
Just wondering what it tells us about him.
Big brother to
Paxton.
Paxo.
Mm.
And then, so where's the sister in the mix, Dan? You must have found it by now.
Let's have a look. Personal life.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
No, doesn't say.
Is his girlfriend still playing football as well?
She quit. No, that makes it sound like a queer. She had four disastrous knee injuries and surgeries.
Oh, no. I laughed at that and I didn't mean to.
And then eventually, I think this year, she decided to pack it in.
Fair enough. She's not in Leeds yet, is she?
I mean,
as far as I'm aware.
I've not looked for a while.
Whenever they're together, they always used to put nice Instagram stories on.
Exactly. It was absolutely sickening. That's why I just like give up on seeing what they were up to. It's like, I think I noticed it because obviously Brendan posted about like how...
Brendan's the eldest, by the way.
There you go. About how hard she'd worked and like wishing the best. Like
Jaden.
She'd stopped doing it. But yeah, she kept... It's quite a sad story, but she was obviously on a soccer scholarship at college, and sort of the start of every new year, she would post a photograph of herself in the kit and being like really excited for the new season. And then about 2 months later, like a photograph of her having a knee operation. And then 6 months later, really excited for the new season. And then a month later, knee operation. I think just like, yeah, whatever's going on with that, not going to happen. But she can still do her, probably still play left back for us.
So just to close off the thought, it was Rusty and Janelle,
mm-hmm.
Mom and Pop.
Pop was a soccer coach, wasn't he? Rusty still is, he
yeah. And you've got...
And is Janelle also athletic? I'm sure she's like a...
I'll just have a look at the photos. Hey. and then we've got Brendan, who's the eldest, and then Paxton and Jaden.
Okay.
The kids.
So I wonder what Marsh would learn, what he would glean from this information.
Where are you in the birth order, Moscow?
Younger brother to an older sister.
Same.
So you're the youngest, and you're the
exactly
youngest.
Same, yeah.
I'm also the youngest, but I'm also the oldest, and everything in between.
Oh, only child. It explains an awful lot.
Yes.
You selfish fucking pig. Well, maybe. This is why you run around screaming for stuff all the time.
Maybe this is how Marsh picks the team. Like, are we going to get some leadership from an only child?
We're going to have to do some extensive research now to find out what all the different birth orders of the squad are, see if we can notice any pattern.
Well, Joffrey's the old... We've already said Joffrey's the oldest one. He sent him off. Maybe the absence of a sister, he's like, no, don't, not happy with this.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Who knows?
21s, by the way, lost to West Brom. Pathetic.
Bless him.
What's the point? They're supposed to be walking away with that league this year. No, it's because they had a lot of players in the first team squad, didn't they?
Darko JB scored a very good goal. And also the sending off, Chris Moore got sent off and gave away a penalty for possibly the mildest foul. It was almost of the lines of, like, in the olden days, you might have given it an indirect free kick for obstruction. But because it was through on goal and the player fell over, it was a penalty and a red card. So that felt a bit harsh. Darko JB stuck an equaliser in the top corner. We played really well after going 1-0 down. But then we decided, well, I don't know if it was a decision, but certainly the conclusion was, in the last like 20 seconds of the game, West Brom just like ran through the middle and scored a goal. And that was a bit upsetting. 2-1 defeat.
Women haven't bothered playing for a bit, have they? Because of the weather?
Just had in time to enjoy that cup win, getting ready for the game against Arsenal.
Yeah. Best wishes to Rebecca Bass as well, who torn her ACL, MCL and meniscus, which is like the whole knee, basically.
Yeah, that sounds like it might have been...
The ligaments on both sides. And by pure chance, I was reading a book about a guy who's had a knee operation. So I know what the meniscus is.
Please do tell.
You're the coach and the physio. You should know.
Yeah, but I'll explain it in medical terms. You're more likely to explain it in a simple way that a layman could understand.
It's the cartilage that acts as a shock absorber between the thigh and the shin.
Yeah, you're more or less right. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What would you?
There's more to it. No, it's for a different.
How would you? Come on, how would you describe
it's
it? Come on.
My science. I know
people like getting really granular in this stuff.
The connective
leg jointy bit.
The connective bits.
Yeah.
Does all that, yeah. It just holds it all together.
So when you're doing sort of an operation on that, what do you look out for?
Yeah, any loose bits.
Yeah.
The police, probably.
I did Simon Cowell's facelift. That was a complete success.
He looks pleased.
At the end of that game at Stoke, on the highlights, you could see Rebecca Bass going across the pitch on crutches and congratulating all the other players, which then, when you look at the state of like the list of injuries... I would have just been in the back of a car sobbing, wanting somebody to take me to hospital if my entire knee had just been smashed up. So, yeah. But
as well, bear in mind they have to have normal lives as well, being injured. It's not like being a professional footballer where you just go, well, I'm injured, I'll just go into the training ground and have someone work on my leg for a few hours every day. Got to go do a normal job and stuff.
Would you recommend that she go in the training ground with torn ACLs, MCLs and meniscus is his eye?
Get on that running track.
Or would you say maybe...
Run it off.
Leave it to the surgeons for now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, footballers are weird, aren't they? It's like Dallas broke his bloody femur and he was in the training ground doing stuff about 3 weeks later, wasn't it? But good luck to her.
And we're through to the FA Cup fourth round, as we know, from beating Cardiff, which was a lot of fun in the end. We've got either Accrington or Boreham Woods.
No, it was a lot of good. It was a lot of fun at the start. The end, we conceded two goals and everything got a bit silly.
I mean, but now we've got a little bit of time behind us. We can look back and get it, because that was fun. Forget the last 10 minutes, just a bit of an aberration. But we had to concede our customary two goals. But apart from that, it was good fun, wasn't it? Plenty of goals and all that. Would you prefer Accrington or Boreham Wood?
Accrington. It's not as far, is it?
True.
That's what I'm going to go with. Should still fly there, though. Just because it's the modern thing to do, isn't it?
Right.
Just fly there, Leeds to Manchester, and then what?
Is it not
45 minutes in the car from Manchester Airport?
Send the coach over the M62.
Is there not an airport at Accrington?
I'm going to say not.
There'll be one. There'll be an airstrip of some kind, won't there? Or maybe a rotorport, so we could take a Sea King helicopter.
We're Premier League, land it on the pitch.
I'm just having a look. I mean, there's plenty of big grassy areas around it. You could maybe just... Because, like, you know, up at Roundy Park, you know, Soldiers Field, the big grass bit at the top, that used to be an airport runway during the war, wasn't it? It was used as an airfield. So they could do that. Just land it there.
All right. But, yeah, I don't know.
Actually, Leeds-Liverpool Canal skirts around the top end of Accrington. Slow boat.
Barge it.
Yep. stick all the players on a barge.
How fast does a barge go? About 4 miles an hour?
Something like that. That might be a bit faster. It might be slower than that.
It's one of those trips that you'd want Alioski back for that kind of thing.
What, barging?
Yeah, well, Leeds United on a narrow boat going to Accrington with Alioski as the skipper.
He'd wear the hat, wouldn't he? Like the full
but outfit. Anyway, it might not be Accrington. I don't know how you get to Boreham Wood.
Don't have any.
M1 is how you get there.
Let's have a look. Boreham Wood, does that have an airport? I looked on Boreham Wood's website just for like anything, really, the other day, and one article on there, I think it had 12 views, the most recent article, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah, bless them. But yeah, they were meant to play.
Let's not patronise them because they're going to beat us in
the
FA Cup.
That's very true. They were meant to play before us, weren't they? But then the pitch was frozen and now they're going to play next Tuesday, as long as the pitch isn't frozen. Yeah.
London Elstree Aerodrome. I'm all for an aerodrome. I love an aerodrome.
All for London Elstree. We can film a screwball comedy while we're there.
Yeah, it's directly west. Isn't... is the aerodrome is not far at all from actual Boreham Wood.
Like, where all the Carry On films were filmed, at Elstree?
At the aerodrome? I don't know.
Well, I bet the aerodrome... Well, is it possible that the aerodrome is a conversion of the studios?
I don't know. I mean, did the studios always have a runway there? That's the big question. Anyway.
How else would the big stars have got there for
I'm looking at Boreham Wood. You're right, Michael. It is just, it's basically, Boreham Wood is at the almost the join of the M1 and the A1.
There's some big films done at Elstree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Dam Busters, Moby Dick, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
And what's Dam Busters about? It's about aeroplanes dropping bombs and that. So what do you need? You need a runway. There you go.
Yeah. Shining, Indiana Jones. Good. Robot Wars.
I think we should play Boreham Wood because it's got better access.
There'll probably be better like TV coverage as well with Elstree available.
Accrington next Tuesday, 7 degrees raining.
Boreham Wood versus Leeds United, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Boreham Wood's ground, I was looking at it on Google Maps. It is very basic. I mean, very basic indeed.
Mm. Well, what level of football are they at?
Low.
So what do you want?
Conference, aren't they?
Something like that. No, they're in like the Vanarama northern bit or something, are they?
I thought, I don't know.
We're doing deeper patronising stuff. I'll tell you what, we'll find out when we'll they play one another for next week.
If we're not playing them,
we can't research two teams, can we?
No.
Whereas Accrington, we know, obviously we know loads about them.
Well, yeah. No, we don't, because the whole joke about Accrington is that nobody knows who they are, because who are they, etc.
Exactly.
The film, that was Joffrey Gellhart's little brother in that.
It was, yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So the Brentford preview in the league. Is this a league fixture?
It is, yes.
Right, okay.
Why are we thinking playing another lower league?
Strange,
side?
Yeah, to find us playing. Yeah, Brentford. They've beaten Man City and Liverpool in the last few weeks.
I mean, Liverpool are terrible, as it turns out.
Yeah, can beat them.
And as last night proved, you can get at Man City.
Yeah, they're beatable. So Brentford essentially have achieved nothing since the League One days, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing well, are they? And they're not well coached?
No, not well run.
Yeah.
I think they need a new stadium.
Yeah, that one's tiny, isn't it, the one they've got?
Yeah, but some tiny little shed that they've got.
It's a bit like, it looks all a bit like Gilliam's Away End. If you've ever seen that, I think it's just all on scaffolding. So
they're well overdue a new ground.
I hope they get that one day. I do.
Well, they can dream, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know what they'll need it for in League One, necessarily, when their attendance is returned to normal.
once they clear up the clerical error, which has seen them put in eighth place in the Premier League, this whole thing has blown over.
Maybe once the
playing really well.
Maybe once the PRS bill for unlicensed use of Hey Jude lands, Paul McCartney gets them shut down for unpaid royalties.
Yeah, it seems fair enough.
Don't like Brentford. Just annoying, because the plan with Brentford, this is the second season up, isn't it?
Yeah, but we all know that third season syndrome's coming, as we're experiencing right now.
We're really hoping they get a big dose of what we went through last year in their second season, but it's not happening. They just seem to still be quite good and still keep buying good players for cheap and winning matches and being really smug about it. So
it will genuinely though be interesting to see from a an objective point of view whether they do eventually regress to the mean, just because if you don't have money in this league, and they're always going to be genuinely capped by the size of the attendances and the commercial stuff they can offer people, helps being in London, I think, then whether they do end up struggling in subsequent years, because you wonder whether, is it a lightning in a bottle thing with Thomas Frank? Who succeeds him eventually? There are questions, genuine questions around that.
What else does Thomas Frank keep in bottles or glass jars?
Don't know. Probably his milk.
Yeah, good one. Jams.
Mm-hmm.
Pickles.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Does he pickle?
If he had to go away for some reason, I guess that would maybe throw things up in the air a bit for him.
Mm.
What does he pickle?
Anything he can get his hands on.
Did you notice that in the Aldi centre aisle in the run up to Christmas, they had big, sort of thing, those 5 litre things of pickling vinegar.
Oh, okay.
I nearly bought one, but then I realised that I really don't need 5 litres of pickling vinegar. Just walk around Aldi going, do I need a whacker plate? Do I need 5 litres of pickling vinegar?
It's a big temptation when you've run out of booze as well, isn't it? Oh, I've got that pickling vinegar.
take the edge off.
It's hard to tell this season, really, isn't it? Because with Arsenal suddenly winning the league, which nobody saw coming, Manchester City can only seem to get it together in the second half of things and keep losing games. Liverpool being terrible, not sure that was really predictable. Scum getting good again. And that's kind of, it's hard to tell whether that's what's letting Brighton and Brentford.
Fulham
get up there. Are they taking advantage of kind of a season where the top six, the big six are all kind of having their weird crises and they'll all be back next year? Or whether it is like, Brighton, now they've broken that 9 wins in a season barrier and got rid of that loser manager who was holding them back. Are they now legitimately going to be top 7-8 for good now? Are Brentford actually going to stay up there and keep punching above their weight? Or is the, I guess the other version of it is you look at Leicester and like gone from winning the league, Champions League, to now really looking in danger of relegation. I think us in the middle is like, I guess we just love to get involved instead of just being in the middle of it, looking around and going like, Brentford are good this year and Brighton are good this year and Leicester aren't good anymore. It's like, could we just have a turn?
The fixture down there at the G-Tech earlier this season was an absolute horror show, wasn't it, in terms of completely playing into their hands and it being exploited ruthlessly. Didn't help when we had some of our more expressive defending, the old free-form defending.
Mm-hmm.
Brentford really hoovered up the chances at the G-Tech, didn't they?
They did, so correct.
G-Tech make vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
And garden products. I think we've done this before. I think we were trying to get a free lawnmower off them.
why we're on a first floor office building? Do you mean you wanted a free lawnmower?
Well, yeah. Yeah, are you a vacuum? We take a vacuum, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we would. Yeah, absolutely. An office vacuum. Yeah. Hi, G-Tech. we were terrible down there. Although we actually played quite well and controlled a lot of the possession. Very reminiscent, I guess, in a way of what happened at Villa, but without the 5-goal pasting.
Yeah, we weren't terrible there. We actually were all right for a lot of it.
Should have had the penalty on Sinisterra as well. And he scored a brilliant goal.
Yeah,
Sinisterra gave away a penalty. That's right. Somerville was fouled. Even the penalty that Sinisterra gave away.
Sinisterra scored that really good goal, didn't he, as well?
Yeah. And the penalty he gave away was not a penalty. And then Somerville should have had one because it was worse. Sinisterra scored goal of the match. And I think we should have got 3 points for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were cheated then, were we?
And then Llorente just went mad.
And Tony should have been banned anyway.
Yeah. And if he is going to get banned, I dare say it'll be like Monday. They'll just wait.
Yeah.
I mean, these
things. Wait until he scored his goals this week.
These things take time, don't they? And they've not really released full details of what he's done wrong, have they?
Just lots of it, I think.
Yeah.
Seems to be the other bits they have released.
There are lots of bets, and they just need to, whether they're going through them all individually.
Well, lump on for him to score this weekend, the way they're defending. But you never know. You never know. We might have tidied it up by then. Or
Conversely, suspect he's not been betting against his own team or anything. Because if he'd have done that, I think they may have acted with a bit more haste on it. But if he's just been sticking money on because he's a bored rich man, which I think is why most footballers bet, because they're like, something's a fucking doing it.
And you know about it as well. You know a bit about, I guess that's the problem, is you know too much from the authority's point of view.
I mean, I'm falling back completely and utterly on recency bias here, but because we won through the week and we scored 5 goals, I'm all for us doing it again. We've got our new thrilling, exciting attacking lineup. So I think we might flip reverse what they did to us down there at Elland Road on Sunday.
You're predicting a 5-2 win?
Yes.
It's pretty safe to concede that we'll
concede two.
Yeah, that's a safe
because we have to. It's just how many we score, isn't it?
Mm.
The crowd will be buoyed by a victory through the week. We get off to a nice bright start. Hopefully another 26-second goal would be fine.
And another brilliant one.
Yes. If he wants to do that
I don't want to see a scrappy 26-second goal. I want some overhead kick next time, Willie. Up your game, for Christ's sake.
And then, you know, the lift that we'll get when we're 3-2 up, and then Jorginho Ruter comes on alongside a rejuvenated Pat Bamford. Mugs available at thesquareball.net. Everyone's going to be up for it, aren't they?
Yeah, let's say yes.
You don't sound entirely convinced, Michael.
Well, I'm very concerned about our defending. Because we, even leaving aside the fact we were 5-0 up and they were late goals, we gave Cardiff chances in that game again. And they had a goal disallowed. And I don't know. We still look a complete shambles at the back.
Yeah, but then Brentford's weaknesses, we've got to take a little look to what whoscored.com are saying. They are weak at keeping possession of the ball, very weak against long shots, weak at avoiding individual errors, weak at defending attacks down the wings, which I guess is irrelevant, but weak at defending against skillful players. So if we're going to bring on the most two-footed player Jesse Marsh has ever seen, who loves to dribble, I think it's a Ruter hat-trick is destined to happen.
Sinister is back.
Exactly. Nyonto, obviously.
Unstoppable.
Even Somerville's not going to make it, is he? But even Brendan Aaronson, if he sort of sorts his life out, he is very good, skillful, running forward, and it's the kind of player that they won't like to play against if he's in there. They are a little bit of a worry with their strengths.
I was just reading through these, and these don't fill me with dread at all.
Yeah, they're strong at creating scoring chances, creating chances using through balls, strong at counter-attacks, strong at finishing scoring attacking
set pieces. We're notoriously good in defence with stuff like that.
And, I mean, that was one of the major criticisms of Cardiff, that we just watched another corner go into the net and then we're kind of like, oh, good, he was standing in the wrong place. So there's a lot there. I mean, we know from
is there anything on
letting them score 5 against us, that there's a lot they can do to hurt us.
Anything in the data, Moscow, about standing at the back post and just waiting for it to come to you?
No, but I think most teams tend to just discover that that works against Leeds rather than it being a particular characteristic.
Right, okay,
of their own
team.
You can just generally just look up and you can be like, oh,
see your mates free. Someone's
screaming for it at the back post and although, there's no one stood anywhere near them.
If you listen to Jesse Marsh, he says that does not happen and it's a leadership issue. We just got to be braver and that will stop anything like that from happening. So
we got away with two against Cardiff, didn't we? Because, I mean, admittedly, they did score from one. But the one where Luke Ayling made a mess of it, there was actually someone at the back post ready to head that in if the cross had been better. It was, it kind of went between Luke Ayling's legs and bounced up and someone middle of the goal scored it. But then there was the other one where there was just a straight pass across that the player let go under his foot and it went out of play.
It was quite close to being 5-4. I mean,
to be fair, it could have been 10-4.
Yeah. I wasn't on the
radio call.
The match ball after the game. I absolutely loved that match and just like how good we were, and that it didn't matter that Cardiff were terrible because we played against them as if they were terrible. We didn't let them. We didn't draw 2-2. We didn't do anything stupid. Mm. We scored 5. But there was just enough in it, and I decided to ignore it until I decided to change my mind now. But just like, let's just ignore the bad stuff, the weaknesses that we conceded.
It is a good way to navigate life, that. It's just bury your head in the sand and be in complete denial about important issues.
Well, it's easy when you've won 5-2. I think it's when we lose games.
5-2.
Or 2-1 at Villa, and then that's when Marsh is saying, no, this was brilliant. That's where it doesn't quite work. If we concede 2 to Brentford and score 5, then praise it to the high heavens. I would absolutely ignore any problems whatsoever.
Still not conceded a goal with Verba on the pitch, have we? Shame he's injured. I did see that the other day. I don't even know if it's true. I assume someone else had checked, the person who tweeted it.
Yeah, it'll be right.
Marsh said it, right?
Oh, did he?
I'm pretty sure he mentioned
Moscow.
That.
That's immediately been discarded.
Yeah, Jesse says a lot.
Yes.
I can't be expected to listen to everything he says, can I?
No, I think he was right. So that's a good sign. He does. He looks decent. He against in the home game against Cardiff, he was sort of subtle, like you didn't really notice him in a good way.
I thought that. I had the exact same thought. I thought, I haven't noticed Max Verber, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
In the way that you do notice Diego Llorente occasionally and think, come on, Diego, let's make this a good one.
He didn't try and knee it out of the stadium or anything like Llorente did at one point. A big triumphant thigh swinging towards the ball.
My favourite. If we're going to like tear that performance apart now, my favourite bit is Firpo was looking really good.
Until going
forward. And I started sitting there when I was thinking about how much I was just enjoying everything. I was like, that's great. Nyanto's gold, everything's going. And I was like, Firpo's playing well. That's how good this is. And then he passed the ball to Greenwood, ran into the penalty area, and Greenwood tried to pass it back. And Firpo was just looking in completely the wrong direction and just didn't see the ball being hit. He got distracted by
the floodlights.
It was so funny, and you know, I don't mind these things when I'm 5-0 up. And you know, I think Firpo. It's funny because what I'd been thinking was trying to work out what the difference was from the first game in Cardiff. Why did we only draw 2-2 and go 2-0 down to a team that obviously was as bad as they were when we saw them at Elland Road? Like, well, Tyler Adams is one big difference, but then I was like, Is Firpo some kind of factor here? Because he is a left back and we're playing with a left back at left back and we're trying to attack more.
Rodrigo.
And we were better in the...
Rodrigo.
We were better in the second half down in Wales when we stopped trying to attack through Rasmus and we started attacking through Firpo. I was like, are we maybe going to be better if we have Firpo and we just play him into form? And then he did that and I was like, well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sawtooth graph. It's not necessarily a straight line.
And it is. I think that's still there to be explored. It's like, what can if we give Firpo the chance that we hoped he was going to take at the start of the season when he was like he did the interview pretending that he hadn't, like, his leg wasn't falling to pieces. Like, yeah, last year was difficult. This year's going to be good. We can maybe start that from now. And it's a little bit like Bamford coming back as well. It's like, we'll start that from now. We've got Bamford just banging goals in. Goal after goal and just like mug after mug being sold in his name.
Let me just check. So what you're asking is, I've taken notes on this, is you'd like our players to be good rather than not good.
And injured.
Right.
I'd like them to be good and playing rather than no good and injured. So we build the rest of the season around Firpo, Bamford, Forshaw, and that'll do. Just those three.
Dallas is due back as well, so.
Stuart Dallas as well. We'll be like a new signing.
We've not heard from Jesse yet, so he may be confirming that Verber's gone for a small operation, which is what they always like to talk about. It's just a small operation.
Just a little cleanup.
A little procedure.
Yeah. He didn't look too bad, was my medical opinion of him walking off the pitch.
Yeah. And you obviously have the expertise in this. Rusty and Janelle's boy, Brendan. Is he having a rest for this one, do you think?
I think so. He's needed one for a while. I know he did get one midweek, but...
Let's give him an eye out.
And also...
It's the West End. Take him to a show, dinner,
well, you know, we're at
dancing.
Home. We're at home.
But him, he can go to London. He can go to London and just take in a show and dinner and a dance and get drunk.
What musical do you think he'd like to see?
Oh, one of the Cats ones, I don't know.
One of the Cats ones. Cats 1 or Cats 2?
He had... when they doused him in beer when Salzburg won the league, he was saying that, like, oh, he's not really a big beer guy, but maybe... No,
under
nice.
21.
It's nice to have one, of course, because he's only just turned 21. And he does kind of have that air about him of maybe it would do him some good to just get him pissed. Because he seems like, since he's come back from the World Cup...
Before
he's just
or
been,
after the game?
Never did George Best any harm. Actually, no, it did him a lot of harm. whichever works.
Yes, it did.
But he just looks in need of just like...
Bit of fun.
Cobweb clearing seems to be the Brendan Aaronson thing. So it's like, just do something to get his head clear and, you know, good night out.
It's that bloody injured girlfriend of his. He's too busy worrying about her. Get rid of her.
Brutal.
Find yourself a nice Leeds lass. We'll take you out boozing 5 nights a week. Is that what we're arguing?
I just thought like one night out would
imagine the sense of wonder as you take him into a Wetherspoons.
why even Wetherspoons? They're three legs.
Right.
Go hardcore for him.
Yeah, really go in at the deep end.
Yeah, why not?
Predictions for this one, I've already said 5-2 to Leeds.
Well, Moscow's going to London for it, which is a strange approach.
So you're off to the West End to take Brendan.
What have you been working on all week? A magazine that's coming out in this for this game. So why on earth did you think it was being played in London?
I don't think I'm very well.
Fair enough. It'd be like, it's going to end up like 4-2 or something, isn't it, to someone? I can't possibly see a world in which they don't score just because of the way we're playing and the fact they've got some good attacking players. So I don't know, let's just try and win it 3-2, 4-3, something like that.
High scoring.
It's our best bet, isn't it?
Mm. To outscore the opposition. Mm. It genuinely is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and who knows what the defence will even be. Like, because we've been playing, Ayling seems to have got himself back as first choice right back, but then he did that thing the other night, but that was at centre back, so does it count?
And Cooper and Cock had little muscle injuries, didn't they, that he didn't want to risk, so we could end up with a scratch. Charlie Creswell could be back.
Is it little muscles that are injured or muscles that are injured just a little bit?
There's no clarity around that.
Right.
But it feels a bit like the Liverpool game where you don't really know what's going to come and then suddenly we win. But then every game is like that at the moment where you don't really know what's going to come.
And we can lose.
And then there's the results. Like if you compare Fulham and then Bournemouth and then Spurs, all those games that and that's, I guess, the problem that we're trying to shake off is every game being different. We'd like just a run of wins.
Yeah.
Or just not defeats. But it's hard to it should be difficult to predict whether we'll win, lose or draw against Brentford because, you know, that's football and you never know the future. But it's difficult to predict how we'll play and kind of what performance we'll put in is... It's hard to know whether it's going to be a close match that either team could win or whether we're going to get absolutely battered 7-0. And that's where it's difficult. We're not sure what level of performance is going to come out. Marsh will tell us that because we had the nearest to complete that he's seen since he's been here against Aston Villa and then followed it up with a strong, confident performance against Cardiff that we're on the move now. And he was saying last week, it's like he's feeling now the most positive that he has felt since he's been here, which given he celebrated a 4-0 defeat against Manchester City as if it was the best thing that had ever happened to him. The positivity levels must be very, very high for this to be the most positive. But then we don't have the confidence, I don't think, that yes, we will use that momentum instead of no, we're going to crash into a ball against Brentford. But we'll see, we'll see. I guess it's the fun of finding out, isn't it?
My prediction, final prediction on this, whoever scores the most goals will win.
Correct.
And it's time for the third and final part of the show now, which is heroes and villains. First, the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award, someone what has taken a dump in our corner, metaphorically speaking. A whole bunch of nominees have come in then. So we've got our defence coming under the spotlight.
Our corners are relevant there.
Yes. Jesse himself taking a few pelters and Aronson.
Bless him.
In the non-Leeds corner, Martinez. Who's that then, Michael?
The Villa goalkeeper.
So this goes back to the Villa game. Yeah,
he just won the World Cup. What do you mean, who is he?
And Ashley Young as well. Mike Dean on VAR, plus other referee nominees in the form of Michael Oliver and Andrew Madley, who conspired to deny us things in a game some days ago that I've now forgotten. And the media in general and Gary Neville. Right, so who do you want to drill down into? Again, metaphorically.
Mm. I mean, the defence, it's a bit like the Jesse stuff. It's been over a lot of times, but Jez, just the defence. Fuck me rigid. They're dreadful. They'd fuck me pink, didn't we?
Yes.
The other day. Different ways of...
Pink and rigid.
Different ways of being fucked to an unpleasant situation.
Mm.
From Melia failing to organise through to the DMs going missing and not doing the Calvin thing. That kind of was where Villa's goal came from, wasn't it? Because we allowed Tyler Adams to try and score a goal and then they broke and there was no one there.
He was too busy like signing a peace treaty in there. I know he's very statesmanlike and... But he seems to be deciding to have another speech about peace and prosperity with Ashley Young in Aston Villa's penalty area because Ashley Young did a really good tackle. He was congratulating him and saying, well, that was great play, guy. When really, what he should have done is crunched his scum face into the ground, like spotted. Mm. He should know, ex-Man United player. So crushed his scum face.
And also revenge for defeating Kevin Blackwell's team in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is for Watford 2006. All of that stuff. And then maybe have the game stop because it's a free kick to Aston Villa because Tyler Adams is wailing on Ashley Young in the 6-yard box. And then we don't concede that goal. So This is Leicester defence. I've somehow taught Tyler Adams, who was our best player, by some distance and an absolute beautiful human, into being the villain.
Well, but let me save you with a segue out, picking up on the words ex-scum player, because, excuse me, that for me is the leading candidate in here. And I would like to put forward now my motion, if you would like to carry it, is that this should be Gary Neville and the media in general for trying to sell off Willy Nonto. And we have the Aussie Sean Dyche, who's got in touch. So could we hear from the Sean Dyche what he's had to say? I mean, you could just do the last sort of sentence if you want there, Sean.
Get your mitts off her, Willie.
Get your grubby mitts off
her. Grubby mitts.
But yeah, perfect for Man City was...
it was perfect for Man City, wasn't it, that Neville was peddling on his airwaves.
And they didn't even give him player of the match.
No. Scum bastard.
Somebody scored and assisted against us, but...
He's the best player in every match, is Nonto, which will... Yeah, we'll come on to player of the year, but he's won. It's the short version of that. He's like a point and a half ahead of everyone in the ratings.
Yeah, we know what our defence is like. We know what Jesse Marsh is like. I suppose we know what Mike Neville, Gary Neville is like. Martinez, I can't help but kind of like him.
Well, it was one of those that he was doing loads of time wasting, but I almost don't blame players for time wasting. I blame referees for not just sorting it out, because they can do. As Bielsa used to say, they have the tools available.
Yes. So
add time on or book people early. Is it virtually impossible to get booked in a first half for time wasting?
I feel like
you so rarely see it.
Gary Monk's Birmingham had a really good go at it, didn't they, when they came to Welland Road, went a goal down and started time wasting.
It's just something that it doesn't happen. It's like refs have got a rule. They generally won't do it until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like you can spend a minute over a goal kick in the first minute, and they'll just be like, man, it's fine. Mm. And they don't add 13 minutes on like they did at the World Cup.
Mike Neville was a newsreader in the northeast of England on ITV.
I knew he was somebody.
Yeah, sadly passed away in 2017. But he was born James Armstrong Briggs, so his stage name was Mike Neville.
What a weird choice.
Yeah.
He must have done that before the name was left in tatters by
it's probably
an
equity card thing. There might have been an equity card holder with that name already.
You choose something else other than Mike Neville. Although, I suppose if it's the North East, the Nevilles were bishops, weren't they? Weren't they?
I've no idea.
Let's say, yeah.
There's a big kind of like rich historical medieval Neville family in the North East around Durham and stuff. So maybe you wanted to pretend he was one of those, and that's how he got the job on Tyne Tees TV.
Mm, maybe so. Maybe so.
Exposed his whole life is a lie.
Any objections to Gary Neville then?
Yes, lots. No, I can't stand him.
Me, as in, we can't say that about some of the refs. That's libelous. It's got to be Gary Neville. Gary Neville?
I think the refs are probably worthy of some. For the it was Michael Oliver, wasn't it, and Madley for the Villa game. Because I think there was at least one penalty in there.
Rodrigo. I think Mike Dean. Is it Mike Dean who does the review on the television?
No.
Or... Mike Dean is exclusively VAR now, isn't he? It's all
he
does.
Of course. So who's the guy?
Peter Walton or not him. Dermot Gallagher?
I think it's Dermot Gallagher on... Monday, you know, when Sky do like a roundup, said the Rodrigo one was a penalty.
And I'll take it.
And
the referees union is very strong with those things as well. They try incredibly hard to see. I mean, Peter Walton's the worst because he changed his mind during games, doesn't he? As the replays are going on, he's going, no, I think the referee's right to just give a yellow there. And then he changed it to red. And he goes, no, that's a good decision to give the red. He's done well there to change his mind. He's great to have a look at that.
I'm sticking with my Neville nomination here because I realise that, like, Willy Nonto, what he's done is he's transcended all that existential dread that we've got as Leeds fans, because he's such a joyful footballer and he's brought me so much happiness this last week, which we'll get onto, I guess, in Heroes in a second, that I don't want Gary Neville selling him on in future. Mm-hmm. Can't we just enjoy him in the here and now? Because I went swimming yesterday and I did 45 minutes, which I'm well proud of, right? And
Or five lengths, to put it another way.
I reckon I spent a good 35 minutes of that 45 thinking about Willy Nonto's goal.
Fair enough. Yeah, he just passes the time, doesn't it?
I'm just thinking, it's so good. I enjoy him so much as a footballer.
Did the 45 minutes include blowing up your armbands?
That's one of those pink flamingos. You put it around your waist. Dear me. Come on, go with me.
Yep, Neville.
Let us keep him. Give us at least a year before you start talking about him leaving. Christ, he's about, how many games has he played? Like
seven.
Four or something.
Right.
Yeah, so Wilfred Nonto is, as you were saying there, Michael, streaking away with player of the year now, isn't he, with his scores? And he's definitely in the mix for that now, so good on him. Congratulations for winning that, probably.
I feel a bit bad for Tyler Adams because
Well, he should play better.
He's not as fun, is he? So he's never going to get
there. But he was walking it, and then it's fine. Yeah. Him and Melier were well in the lead. The latest scores are in the new issue of the Mag, which will be on sale Friday, Saturday. So but Friday's today, isn't it? So got to do that. Yeah, issue 5 is out any moment, and that has the full like list of TSB Plus members, player ratings of the year so far, and done a little pre and post World Cup for some of them, which was basically turned out to just be a way of picking on Brendan Aaronson.
Can I put forward a motion now that, assuming Willy Nonto wins this, which I think he probably will in the end of the season, can we have a trophy made up for him?
Oh, probably a life-size one.
Because I want to go meet him and hand it over to him.
Do you know what? I ended up, Philip spent a lot of time talking about players' families on this, but the club tweeted about it was a Pamford. I've done that again.
Hazabamps.
A spoonerism.
Hazabamps. He was saying that his dad dropped him at training, which I thought was cute.
So it's very sweet.
So then I started trying to find a picture of his dad. I was like, oh, let's see what his dad looks like. And in doing so...
So you stopped searching for the mums now?
Yeah, I was onto the dads instead. Yeah. Just for, quality reasons. It's good to stalk a dad now and then. But it also, on the same page as there were pictures of his dad, there were pictures of a young Willy Nonto. And he's the most adorable little child you've ever seen. even in the youth team.
He's still an adorable little child.
Well, he's basically got the same face as he's got now. It's somehow even more adorable when he's little. You go, ah, look at him. Because he's, same as he is now, he's loads littler than all his teammates as well. But clearly the best player ever.
He's winning the Hero of the Week award, isn't he? Rodrigo got some nominations, Bamford as well.
I enjoyed the description of Nonto as an Italian Tasmanian devil. He is an absolute menace. He just is constantly moving about and doing really good stuff.
Mm. Yeah, he is.
Well, yeah.
There's a weird streak of Alan Smith within him as well, where he just wants to get involved in loads of things and nothing to do with him. That's why Tyler Adams won't win Player of the Year. Tyler Adams, next time Wilf Nonto is chewing the ear off a referee when he's already got a yellow card, walk over and take him away. As I am living in constant fear of a second yellow for dissent.
There is a daft yellow card sending off coming up in this season, isn't
after
there?
After is. Yeah. And it will be for something like it was on Wednesday, where it's somebody else's fight entirely. He's arrived 10 minutes late, started kicking off. Yellow card, and then he just moans and moans, and he just needs, we're talking about leadership, I feel like I'm Jesse Marsh, one of the leaders, go over there and just turn him around and walk him away, because it's the one thing that he needs. We don't need him sent off, because he's our only good player.
He's scrappy do, but minus being annoying.
He has got a bit of the Gradles about him, both in his play and in his
stature,
his desperation to get involved in a bit of aggro.
He'd love to dismantle a ref. You can tell, like, what Gradle... I wonder if Gradle ever looks back on that and he's like, yeah, at least I had a go at him. just to know what it feels like.
You'd underestimate Nonto at your peril, though, because you'd see him as... you'd think, oh, he's a little fella, but he'd be quick. Little swift uppercuts. I reckon you'd be on the ground before you know it.
Well, it's kind of... that's the underrated part of his volley. His super bike was when the little push on the defender sent him flying.
Which is finger strength.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just done enough, and it's not a foul, it's not really a push. It's just a little touch, and he's totally knocked him.
He unbalanced the opposition.
He did unbalance the opposition and just made that little bit of room.
Obviously a huge nod to Mateus Klik for giving the finger to Cardiff fans, which it was, we said in terms of a perfect sign-off for him. I'm so glad he came back and had that opportunity, and that was the perfect sign-off, given flicking the bird to the Cardiff fans. But doing it in a really childish kind of teenage way, especially with Liam Cooper and Stuart Dallas, as we tweeted out, saying, egging him on in the tunnel, going, give the V's, give him the V's. And he did the finger resting on the head, didn't he? Yeah. And the FA can't touch him.
Nope. There's a lovely blog by Rob on our website about that, comparing Dallas and Cooper to his two older sisters, who used to get him into trouble for things, knowing that it would not rebound on them. And it was a lot like that. I was like, you can do this, we can't. Do it.
Rob, two older sisters. Any brothers in the mix?
No, the I think order? It's just the two older sisters.
Right. Noted for the birth order thing.
So we know for future recruitment.
Yep.
Yeah, when we're employing people.
We'll work around that in future. Yeah, Rob also, I saw, did some research on his fleece. Oh, was that you, Moscow?
No, that was Rob.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Well, I managed to find it for sale for $757.
Which is
from Farfetch.com.
That is 620 quid in today's money.
It's Supreme, so it's very limited. So the after sale market.
But it sounds like it would be with a name like Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's probably not for me.
No,
it did look quite cozy.
Yeah,
and it's like the sort of thing I'd buy from a market and wear in the house.
What a glamorous picture you paint of yourself.
I'd have a wolf on it.
Excellent. So congratulations then to Wilfred Nonto for bringing us joy this week. Then correct.
Yeah, I mean, he's won it, hasn't he? Of course, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, have we even mentioned Bamford?
We have not mentioned Bamford.
I did mention him in passing. I said
the returning, broken foal.
Yep.
And the beautiful photo of him, Junior Firpo, and Luis Sinisterra in a tight ice bath.
Bamford's face is great.
Yeah, I don't know who gets the most credit for this photograph. I hope everybody's seen it so they know what we're talking about. But Bamford's...
Well, Junior's in the foreground looking quizzical.
Mm.
Probably taking the photo, I imagine, because his arm's out of shot.
Yeah.
Then Bamford is sort of off to the right with eyes slightly ablaze.
Well, there's a big kind of eyebrow raise, but his hair is great. And also, I was going to say, like, part of the credit for this goes to his parents for excellent genes.
Yeah.
And Luis Sinisterra in the background sticking his tongue out and looking funny. But also, he's given little two's fingers over Bamford's shoulder, which is an underrated factor. But the whole thing, like the choice of filter, and then also to have captured these expressions in one shot. Junior Firpo as a photographer.
New club photographer.
It's like looking at Mount Rushmore.
It is as well.
The three of them together. And just, yeah, he's done really well. So Junior Firpo, like, takes a great photo. And again, yeah, the filter choice, the whole thing, has really brought the best out of all of them. So good.
So Junior gets a nomination Firpo too.
Should have a hero nomination for the photo as well too. But yeah, Bamford, the one goal, the goal at Villa, kind of a lot of that's down to Nyonto making it, but being in the right place to finish it. And then the first one in particular against Cardiff, taking the time, then just like a beautiful finish. I think
the second one, I think, is not to be underestimated as well, because that was a difficult one to take, as he had to take it early and it kind of had to take the touch, and then the second touch just poked it in. I thought it was really good.
The Cardiff goalie, I don't think, was very good. Not to take much away from anything, but he did look pretty desperately. He shouldn't be getting like a gentle lob over from Bamford's left foot.
I think
in that
Bamford,
situation.
Bamford sat him down and made him look like a fool. Don't you take away from my Patrick.
It was a great goal, and I hope he keeps going, because
he's on a streak. Rodrigo,
while you're trying to take that goal away from him, look at his, that's the face he's doing at you while you're trying to say that wasn't a good goal.
Totally fair. I hope he keeps doing it, because he's still got a lot of mugs to sell.
Although because we've mentioned it and I tweeted out about it earlier on, people are saying that they now seem to be sold out. So
Bamford mugs.
Yeah, that can't be right, can it?
No, they'll never sell out.
We could get a reprint.
We probably just put the wrong stock number in because we're idiots.
I've got to bury a load in a field to confuse archaeologists.
Well, there you go. That's our hero of the week. It's Wilf Nanta with some many, many other honourable mentions, I think, this week who've done some good stuff for us.
The other bright thing about Wilf Nanta in the Cardiff game that's worth mentioning is the gradual growth of Wille as a replacement, much better chant. That was happening on Wednesday night, and more power to anybody who wants to chant that, because chants are better. Mm. Easier to learn.
Chants versus songs, this is, by the way. You've written about it. It's on the blog.
One word, two syllables. Nobody can go wrong with that. And it sounds really good. And if you think, you know, what was Messi's song at Barcelona? It's just saying the word Messi over and over. So that's good enough for Wilf. I would much prefer, if there's time for a late bid, to just chant Wilf. Wilf, Wilf, Wilf. But if it's got to be Willy, then I think we're there.
Sure, that was used for Wilf Copping back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go, then. That wraps up the weekly show for this time. We'll be back next week. Have we got one game next week? Or have we got two? Let's have a look. Oh, we're back to one. Thank God for that.
Two championship teams in a row, though. That's been a bit annoying this week, hasn't it?
And in fact, our next game after this weekend is going to be against either Accrington or Boreham Wood. Mm. So... really plumbing the lower leagues.
Three non-league sides in a row, more or less.
We'll speak to you next time.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.